How's it going, everybody? Welcome back to the show. If you're just rolling out of the rack and you flipped on your radio or your smart speaker, welcome to it. 713, JR, Simmer, and Hammer with you on this Friday morning. Pierre McGuire coming up. Dave Naylor as well from TSN.ca later on in the show. Still two more chances for you to qualify in our TSN 1200 Pizza for a Year contest with us between now and 10 o'clock. Daily winner coming up from yesterday in just a second. You guys bought any Halloween? Now, I know that, like, Halloween is, well, hang on. The federal, Theresa Tam said trick-or-treating is okay, but then Ottawa Public Health said there shouldn't be any trick-or-treating, and Doug Ford said there shouldn't be any trick-or-treating. So we got a little bit of a mixed message about trick-or-treating. That being said, I haven't been in the grocery store lately. Have they got the giant barrels of
Halloween candy? It's all on sale.
Yeah, already?
And it's early. Oh, already.
Yeah.
And we stocked up. We piled on some. We don't plan on doing the trick-or-treating. We plan on doing a scavenger hunt inside the house for the kids.
So you're going to be, therefore, then eating all of what you bought to give out.
Oh,
absolutely.
Okay. Bulk enough for Christmas. And I'm actually handing out tennis balls this year.
Nice. Yeah. To keep everybody active.
No. For the elderly people in my building, they put them on the bottom of their walker.
And where are you going to get the keys to the fitness center?
Oh man, Hammer! I'm telling you, I don't know. I don't want to call in Jimbo. I don't know if I want to call in Matthew Fleury. I feel like after that whole dance studio thing this week and them reopening, I ain't happy. So I'm gonna figure something out here. Get that gym open at some point in the building.
All right. Anyway, so yeah, a lot of Halloween candy is out there.
Nothing in your house?
Nothing yet? In my. Well, of course, I'm on the cleanse right now, man. It's day three, and I am looking forward to third and final day of my juice cleanse. Tell you what we got going on tonight, fellas, for dinner.
What the hell was that picture you sent us anyway?
Last night, that was the ginger turmeric healing broth.
I
saw that was in the movie Papillon, and there were cockroaches in it.
Cockroach. No, and I should say, just to bring everybody who hasn't been with us. Yeah. So my wife and I are doing this cleanse.
Yeah.
So
it's from a good local company.
Yes. Yeah. Raw. Great place on Preston Street. Yeah. So it's four juices. You get four juices you drink at various points of the day, and then you have one pre-prepared kind of a meal that you have at dinner time. So this is the third and final day. So, yeah, that was the broth, and then we followed up last night with a very nice quinoa bowl, which was really good. Yeah. I got to say, it was outstanding.
Was the portion big enough, or did you just go super slow when you're eating it?
No, it was big. And you know what? Like everybody says, beans and lentils, right? Very filling at the end of the day. So we're going to close out tonight with a little minestrone soup, okay, and then some sweet potato stuffed with lentils. Hang on here, and then we're going to top it off with a little banana cream pie chia pudding.
Oh, wow.
Which I haven't... Okay, so this is where it's
banana
reached at.
Banana cream pie chia pudding.
Chia pudding, okay. And that's going to top it off, and then I'm going to be done with it, and then tomorrow I can start eating I want to eat.
What are you going with? Okay, we'll finish off that part, then I want to know what are you craving, and what are you going with tomorrow?
Let me just say that the dessert that I have... schedule for tonight. My wife already has eaten her second dessert last night. She goes,
what?
She ate. She didn't go off the board. She just had an extra dessert.
Well, did the meal plan say you could have the extra dessert whenever?
It doesn't say that you have to like you could maybe have all of it in
everything
one day if you wanted to. I guess.
I think tonight she's going to take half yours. That's
probably.
What I'm feeling,
or probably.
Oh, no. When it gets home, it's going to be gone. That's brekkie, man.
Yeah, you're probably right. So there you go.
So what are you going to go with tomorrow? What are you craving?
Well, how are we feeling? Are you feeling spry? Feeling good? Are you light? Are you ready to get out there, get active?
I will say I don't think it's
a little bit of ultimate.
Well, no, I don't think it's all been due to the fact that I've been only doing this for 3 days. But I now weigh less than I remember in a long time. Like I'm down to 208
in 2 days.
No, I'm just saying. I've been trying to eat a little bit better lately, and whatever. So I'm down. But this is certainly because I'm not eating very much.
Well, and also
I'm drinking these juices.
But also morning radio. Have you ever gone 3 days in a row without coffee?
No,
like that in itself is virtually impossible.
That's
to do
the
4 hours
feat.
Of this. Oh, absolutely. An energy level from that, I can't even imagine. No, I only have one a day. Gotta have my coffee, especially
You've
in the
hardly
morning.
Swore at Simmer and I off the air, so that's been really nice.
It's been very tough.
Violence has been low.
It's been very tough. I'm looking, actually, if you ask me what I'm most looking forward to tomorrow, it's actually having a coffee in the morning.
Oh, it's okay.
I like to have a coffee and just sitting back and No, I don't know. I don't have anything I've super missed. I listen, this thing has been great. It's been, for as little as I've eaten, I have been full at the end of the day, and I don't feel like I'm going to pass out for lack of food. So I'd highly recommend it.
What is the big deal if you throw some coffee down, though? I guess that's, I understand from the food component.
It's caffeine, I guess.
Caffeine,
right?
Okay.
You're just trying, well, you're just changing what you're trying to get out of your body, right?
Well, no, but it's a diuretic in itself. So I don't, you know, one of the premises of having morning coffee is for people to, to get things flowing. So I just was curious on that one. Because if I could do this and certainly still come in and do the show and have a coffee, I'd be good to go. But I can't imagine.
Well, my wife cheated, of course, and had a coffee the other day. Oh. And I said,
come on!
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know. She went 2 desserts last night and she's had a coffee. Right? Yeah. I have held true. I have not gone off the board.
This is
once my kids made popcorn last night, even the smell of like food that you would normally just like dive into, it's just like, oh my God, I want that popcorn.
Popcorn's
so bad.
Got a great scent too. Are they doing it in the old micro? Or are they doing it old school on the stove? No, okay.
On the micro.
Because the stove is really good too.
No, it's all good. Anyway,
you got to be disappointed in your wife right here. Like you're holding up your end of the bargain.
Yeah.
And she's just like Cheaty McGee.
I'm not saying Cheaty McGee.
Cheaty McGee.
I'm not saying anything. That's her.
She
her
snuck
cross
into
to
that
bear.
Popcorn too.
No, I told my daughter, do not give any to mom. Give any to her. And she said, I won't.
There's promises and trades. Yeah, there's something going on.
Probably an extra Christmas gift on the way.
Cashola.
Exactly. Anyway, 7:19. So that's my weekend. Let's give somebody some pizza, which is another thing that I am craving. Actually, now that I say that. We've got our daily winner to award from yesterday's qualifiers in our TSN 1200 Pizza for a Year contest with Gabriel Pizza. So I have the names, and I wrote them down somewhere. I got to find my sheet. There we go. Let's see here. Danica, Brian, Ryan. And as we know, TSN 1200 leads all Ottawa radio stations in listeners named Ryan. Also, Kevin and Jeff. So the five people whose names we have from yesterday. I've randomly assigned numbers 1 through 5 to those five people. Simmer, give me a number between 1 and 5.
You know what? I don't think I've gone with 3 this week, so let's go lucky number 3.
3 is Kevin. Congratulations to you, Kevin. You have won yourself a $100 Gabriel Pizza gift card, and you're in the draw, as are the other 4 of you, for our grand prize of pizza for a year with Gabriel Pizza. And again, we're down to the short strokes in this contest, everybody. I think we got 1 week to go in our Pizza for a Year contest. 5 more chances for you to qualify today, including twice with us between now and 10 o'clock. All right, it's 7:20. We'll get to the Eagles' big win over the Giants, Thursday Night Football, and the hockey signings from yesterday in just a second. But today, this October the 23rd, marks one of the most momentous moments in Canadian sports history. Let's take you back to late in the evening, October 3rd, 1993.
2 balls and 2 strikes on it. Here's the pitch on the way, a swing and a belt, left field, way back, Blue Jays win it! The Blue Jays are World Series champions as Joe Carter hits a 3-run home run in the 9th inning, and the Blue Jays have repeated as World Series champions. Touch them all, Joe. You'll never hit a bigger home run in your life.
There you go. Hard to believe that is 27 years ago today or tonight that happened. Joe Carter's 3-run homer to win the World Series for the Blue Jays. That is only the second time in the history of Major League Baseball that we had a home run win a World Series. Clinch it. Bill Mazeroski in 1960. Joe Carter in 1993. What a moment that was. We all know where I was, because I've told this story a time or two where I was.
Yeah.
What I don't know is I don't know where you guys were. I don't think I've ever asked this question.
Simmer shut the TV off because he was worried they were going to lose, so he didn't watch the game.
I think Hammer was entering grade 6 for the 3rd time. How old you'd have been in?
This would have been grade 10, so 15, 16?
Yeah.
Well, 93. What year
watching
were you born?
Home?
It's not that hard. You're just at a birthday, so.
Yeah, so 16.
So, okay, 16? You were born in 77?
Yep.
16.
So just a few days after
Math,
my birthday.
Not a strong suit. Okay, yes.
No, I got there. It's early in the morning. But to be honest, I was having a bit of a date night with my girlfriend at the time.
No, your girlfriend at the time, who's your wife now?
Who is now my wife.
Yes, you've only ever had one woman in your life.
One girlfriend ever.
Yes.
Once you get one, you don't risk it.
Yeah, exactly.
You just hold on to that one.
I've never gone with that theory, but let's go with it. So are you focused on the game? Like, are you guys into
it? Hang on.
Didn't watch a second of it.
Are you? Because you're a massive Blue Jay fan, as is your wife now.
So yeah, she was not asking me to put on the Blue Jay game.
Okay, are we now? How where are we in the relationship? Like we are.
So
year
we're
or two
we're probably
in,
about 5 months in.
5 months in. So we're still talking puppy love. We're still trying to find a place to maybe for some alone time.
Yeah, we would have rented a movie.
Maybe down
and
in
not
the basement.
Watched it.
Were you guys sexually active at this point? you can ask that. No, I.
Wow.
Trying to set the table here. It's his wife.
There is a batting practice fastball for you to ignore or to hit out of the park.
There was no hitting out of the park. All right, if you want an answer to Simmer's question. No, but we rented a movie, and of course, you never watched it. You just made out and whatever. But her dad came to pick her up, and as soon as she left, I turned on the TV, and it was the top of the ninth. So I saw the ninth inning, so I saw Joe Carter's home run. I watched him walk it off.
That was an early pickup by dad. Like, that's what, 11 o'clock curfew?
Then he fired up for a cold shower. Cooled down the engine. Those three-hour cuddle sessions, right, when you know nothing's going to happen. I don't think you can ever be more revved up in your life. And for myself, strangely, JR, I can't, you know, there's not many, I'll say, the sporting events. And at this time, as a Canadian, I'm living in the United States, I'm a Blue Jays fan. But there's lots of things that have happened. I have no idea. But for that night, strangely enough, I had driven to Philadelphia. I had scouted a Flyers game. And I remember just turning on the radio. Flyers game would have been 7 o'clock. So whatever time I'm in the car.
Yeah, this is a Saturday, by the way.
Yeah, threw it on. I think I had it on ESPN radio. And they announced it. So I was on my way back from Philadelphia.
Wow.
Scouting a game and still remember that.
Now, are you you're living in the States now for 3 or 4 years at that point, right? So are you a massive Blue Jay fan or just kind of a casual? Interested?
No, I would say casually interested. We went to quite a few Orioles games. I can't remember if Camden Yards had opened by then. I guess it would have been right around that time. The part that was still really neat was you had Sky Dome, you had the Jays, you had them spending the American League East. So there was still a big component of being a super proud Canadian. And you also, when you have the National Hockey League, you end up having, we have a little bit of a European mix, but you have lots of Canadians. So, no, there was lots of talk about it and just kind of that Canadian element of being super proud.
Yeah, it was an amazing scene, obviously, to be at the game that night.
Yeah.
But walking out of what was then known as Sky Dome out in the streets of Toronto, because don't forget, they had won the previous year, but that game was in Atlanta. Right. And I think that one was on that was either on a Friday or a Saturday night as well, because I was at a wedding reception in a hotel in Brockville with my wife. I've told this story many times.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Was downtown crazy?
In Toronto?
Yeah.
Massive. We saw with the Raptors last year.
Yeah.
I don't know what the numbers were. It's obviously in the time before cell phones became very prevalent where, hey, I'll meet you down at this at X corner.
Yeah.
But I just remember it was just a sea of humanity.
Well, but the other part, JR, if you want to talk about a change or a facelift in a city, go back to 1993 and see what that area around Sky Dome looks like to what it looks like now. There were no apartment buildings. There was nothing there.
Condos,
there was a little bit on the water.
Yeah.
You hadn't had the ACC open yet. They were still at Maple Leaf Gardens. I'd go stay at the Westin Hotel. There was nothing around there. So kind of ability in open space. It's like I say, that probably I'll say from about 98 on, or whenever the ACC opened, that has been 20-plus years where, like I said, I can remember the first couple apartment buildings going up and thinking, well, that'll probably be the end of it. Now it looks, it's been so poorly designed, it looks like downtown Vancouver.
Yeah, absolutely. So anyway, let us know where you were on that night.
Cool.
Hard to believe it's 27 years ago. Like, so my old theory of you don't really remember anything before you're 8. So we're now talking to anybody who's 35 or older. Like, it's hard to believe. I it's not like I remember it like yesterday, but it doesn't seem like it was 27 years ago. And it's like anybody who's 30 years old, it's like when we talk about, you know, when Mario scored the goal in 87 to win the Canada Cup. Even for some people now, like Canada winning the gold medal at the 2002 Olympics, that's 18 years ago.
Yeah, wow.
You sound like an old timer when you start talking about this stuff, but that just goes to show you how quickly time passes.
Yeah, well, you even think about 96 and Donovan Bailey, what a big recovery that was, and that's only 8 years after Ben Johnson. I'm not going to take away from the home run, but I also just wish it was more of a Bautista-style home run. These frozen ropes that are all of a sudden over the wall, you almost don't have time to get the call out. And what was up with those banners that they had on the wall back then?
The bunting, as they call it.
Is that what they call it?
That was
presidential looking?
That was a baseball thing.
Baseball thing.
Baseball loves its bunting. In fact, I think it loves its bunting both literally in terms of what happens on the field and what they hang from the stands this day. Phil in Orleans texts in and says, I was in the penalty box at the Keystone Center in Brandon. So there you go. I'm not sure if Phil is a we're talking Brandon Wheat Kings, Phil. So there you go. And I wonder if you found out in that moment in time, Phil, like literally as it happened while you're in the penalty box.
Yeah, and the scorekeeper at that time, we're not talking about any ability to have any device you're watching it on, right?
Nope.
It would be all you don't have. You might even be old school. Somebody might have had just the old transistor radio.
They would have a radio and maybe tucked into the ice resurfacer, the Zamboni guy's little office. They've always got a little TV
that's
in there
true. That's
tucked
true.
Away,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And word
yeah.
would travel fast of what happened 30 years ago today. Let us know what you were doing, or 27 years ago today. October 23rd, 1993, the year that Joe Carter, the night that Joe Carter hit the home run to win the World Series for Blue Jays, still one of the most dramatic moments in Canadian sports history. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll get into the Thursday night game from last night as the Eagles, speaking of drama. If you're a fan, it was high drama and very exciting. If you're a fan of the Giants, yet another heartbreaking loss and feature one of the most hilarious bloopers of the year and maybe of the decade as well. That from last night. So we'll get into that. We'll get into some of the hockey stuff and set up game three of the World Series, speaking of which goes tonight between the Rays and the Dodgers. That's all straight ahead here on a Friday morning here on Sports Radio TSN 1200. 27 years ago today when Joe Carter hit the home run to win the second consecutive World Series for the Blue Jays. Dave in Old Ottawa South writes, I'll never forget that night. I was in London, Ontario, sitting in a rocking chair trying to get my newborn daughter to sleep. She was born 5 weeks premature on October 16th, so was only 7 days old. She had finally fallen asleep. I nearly tossed her up in the air with the euphoria as Carter hit that beautiful bomb. Good thing I didn't. She now lives in New York City and it remains a huge Blue Jay fan. That comes from Dave in Old Ottawa South.
Yeah, that's
great.
Awesome.
Story, Dave.
Yeah, very nice.
Let's see here. People in Brockville jumped in their cars and drove around Blockhouse Island and up to the north end and did that lap over and over again, cars honking and people yelling and cheering. And that comes from Unsigned from, I guess, Brock Vegas.
Yeah, I would have headed right down to the water to, I don't know the name, the famous fish and chips place right down in Brockville. But hey, whatever works for you.
I drove to Toronto the afternoon of the game and sat in a bar beside the Sky Dome. Awesome experience on the streets that night. Much better experience than when we did the same thing 6 months earlier in Montreal when the Habs beat the Kings to win the Stanley Cup. That was scary. That comes from Coach.
And that went into Montreal, went into what, all the rioting at that point?
Oh, yeah, it was terrible.
Yep.
Yeah. Absolutely terrible.
Yeah, never really understand that one. But no, that and that would be for where you're set up now in Toronto. They've got the Real Sport. Have you been to the Real Sports Bar in Toronto, guys? Have you ever gone to one there? That is, what a cool spot, right? And that would be.
Worked better than the one here.
Yeah. Well, for lots of different reasons. But hey, if you couldn't get into an event, and if it was the Raptors or the Leafs, anything going on, wouldn't be a bad spot to hunker down.
I say that because I wanted it to work. It's literally right across the street.
Yeah.
I would have loved to have had a great sports bar right across the street from my workplace. But I found it a little bit difficult to shell out $35 for a beer and a hamburger for lunch.
Well, and I remember going in there and you started seeing everybody in there being fairly young, everybody in there ordering Miller Lite. I thought, hey, not going to work. You go to the one in Toronto. That's like a Moxie's on heroin. Like that bar, can I say that? That bar is outstanding. Anyways,
Are you getting your scotches and your whiskeys there?
No, it is Hammer. It's big. Like it's really a neat vibe if you've gone to the Shark Club in Vancouver or been to other clubs. Like it just, hey, there's an energy in there, and there's also some real big spenders that, again, couldn't get into a sporting event till hunker down for some bottle service and enjoy the match.
October 23rd, 1993 was the night I met my future ex. Please add a wrench to that. That comes from Unsigned. memories.
Yeah,
it was the night I met my future wife, who I am now divorced from.
Yeah, wow.
Or future husband, perhaps.
Yeah.
Wrench to JR for continued lying about being on the Rogers Center field 27 years ago today. That comes from Unsigned.
Tennessee is basically the second home of the Buffalo Bills. The greatest play in the history of the franchise.
That's
happened there.
The Minneapolis Miracle.
Minneapolis? Nice. I like it, Hammer.
That's a long one, too.
It is. All right. 7:30.
But it's not. You believe it by this point, JR, right? Like, you believe that you were on the field.
I have the video
evidence.
So
it's not a lie.
I have the video evidence.
Hammer just tweeted out the GIF.
I know, but what does that really tell us other than there's a hand
You can clearly see my wrist, which is distinguishable from any other 7 billion wrists around the world.
Well, you got your name tattooed on your wrist. So
we're going to have to bring in the forensic scientists, eh? Maybe one of those people from the O.J. Simpson trial. They can take JR's. Is that your right hand? Your right hand, and we can also go to the video.
I'm left-handed. I still remember. So Joe Carter is on his tee. I think I would have gone with my strong arm, my left arm.
Are you doing a strong back walk at this point? Because they're carrying them. I mean, are you just holding?
I'm for dear life, because what I've got is I got all those TV guys that are all with their huge television cameras on their shoulders, and they're all trying to tear my arm down because I'm ruining their shot. Yeah.
And they're all union guys, right?
That was just the best. That was an evil
They're all
cackle.
Tearing my arm down. It's like, no, I'm too strong for you, big fella. Look at these pipes right now.
Nice.
Try and break that down.
And
they jump on the bunk beds.
What were you actually trying to accomplish?
A wrench to the bunk beds.
Well, what were you trying to accomplish, Sheriff? Are you actually trying to do an active interview?
He was asking a question.
You know what? You're just, I don't know, you're just...
How does it feel to win the World Series,
There is such a din at that moment, literally the entire, and the roof was closed that night, it was closed that night. Like, it was incredible noise, and obviously got all the guys, and Joe Carter's on their shoulder, all the guys are yelling and screaming. I don't know, you're kind of putting your mic in there. Hoping that you just get something.
Give us a little idea, though, where the hell are you during the game, and then are you, in a holding area where they all of a sudden let you guys on the field?
Yeah, so we were in the, because we weren't kind of the primetime media people.
You were?
So I was out in the auxiliary press box, which was out in left field.
Oh, okay.
But as the game is coming to an end, you kind of got a pass that, and at that point, kind of got you anywhere. Okay. I don't know why, but I ended up I walked right behind the Blue Jay dugout. I was literally crouching on the stairs at that moment. And I don't know why, and I would have got kicked out probably within a matter of a minute or two. A guy would have come down, and because I sort of pretended I was looking for my seat. For a seat, but I kind of crouched down, and that was I'm literally right there when Joe Carter hits the home run. So then I just jump on the field, and the security guy's there.
Yeah.
And then I flash my pass, and the guy's like, "All right, go through." And I ended up somehow being the first person there to greet Joe. In fact, I gave Joe Carter a hug when he crossed home plate.
That is awesome.
You know, it's the guy they do the big celebration. They jump on home plate. It was actually a big hug for me.
We got to find the wide shot of that hammer, the actual video evidence, right? JR, hugging Joe.
If it's around, I'll find it. Okay. But you must be in the KISS Hall of Fame. There must be just a single plaque of you and your mic flash. Every year at this time?
The station doesn't exist anymore.
Why are you calling it KISS Hammer? Is that the name of the station?
That was the name of the station.
It's
a music station.
When you first said that, I'm thinking, what does this have to do with the rock band? Okay.
No,
no.
No,
so, that's the name of the station.
We'll wrap the story up here, but part of the reason that I got into good books, and at that point, the radio station was owned by a pair of brothers. And they were very much into, we were a brand new radio station about publicity and getting the mic flash, the picture of Joe Carter on everybody's shoulders with his arm pumped in the air, and then the mic flash right there is on the front page of the Toronto Star the next day.
Nice.
And so the Monday, I walk in, and the owner has circled the picture of the mic flash and written a little hand, thing to me saying, "This is an amazing job that you did right here. Way to go." One of those things.
And then all your coworkers come in and put you up on their shoulders, just like Joe Carter.
Exactly.
And you guys parade through the building.
Oh, they brought him right into the owner's office, and JR is like, "Show me the money." And then you just leave.
Not so much. Not so much. It's radio. All right, 7:42. Let's take you back to, speaking of celebratory moments, not quite at that level. Last night, between two bad football teams, the New York Football Giants lead the Eagles by 5 points. We're in the final minute. Eagles are driving, trying to score the go-ahead touchdown.
One receiver to the right. Two to the left. Wentz, shotgun, steps up. Wentz, rifles, right corner. It is caught. Boston Scott, he's in. Touchdown. The Eagles have rallied here in the fourth.
Down 11, they come back and win it 22-21. The Eagles escape with a win, a very uneven performance by both teams. Lots of mistakes, lots of errors, lots of head-scratching play calls, lots of head-scratching plays, and also one of the most hilarious moments that you're ever going to see on a football field. I should probably set it up So we're in the third quarter. Giants have the ball on their own 12-yard line. Daniel Jones, the quarterback, keeps it on a keeper. And, well, we'll let Ian Eagle take over from there.
Shotgun formation. Jones fakes it. Now he runs. He's got a huge hole. 25-30. And there he goes. Daniel Jones stumbles down at the 15. He could not get there. Running out of gas. Jones had nothing but green grass in front of him.
You know, it's a great moment when the color guy is absolutely splitting a gut, laughing so hard at the sight of Daniel Jones, who, again, is going to score one of the longest touchdown runs in NFL history by a quarterback. He is 10 yards past anybody. Like, he shows pretty amazing speed when it's all said and
done. Up over 20 miles an hour.
Yeah. Like, and he is outrunning any defensive back. It was a humongous hole. I don't know where the safety was. Nowhere to be seen. He is going to score a touchdown. Going to be an amazing play. And then, as he said afterward when asked about it, what was it? I ran a little bit faster.
I tried running faster than I was running.
I tried running faster than it's one of the great all-time quotes actually, as to why he stumbled and was tackled. Now, the Giants eventually did score a touchdown, but that was a very, very funny moment.
That's in Philadelphia. I was going to say critical. The field has been in New York. When you go to those fields, guys, and I don't know if it's grass, but on the turf fields, is there technically a bit of a hump? I'm not saying like a big hill or anything, but as far as the drainage portion of it, is the field actually flat, JR, or is there a little bit of a hump at the center? And then, I mean, in a small way, you're going a little bit downhill, right? And he just got so speedy and got up on his toes, and wonder if that contributed. And the week that we're having, what could be better?
It was just a completely unathletic play.
No, but
let's not try to break it down.
Oh, he's running over 20 miles an hour. That was actually pretty good. But what could be better than somebody catching a touchdown named Boston Scott instead of Scott Boston? If we're going to summarize our week. Okay? That right there, Boston Scott.
There used to be a football player. Was it David Boston? Former receiver for the Arizona Cardinals? Very good football player.
But
how about Boston Scott winning a game between Philadelphia and New York?
Yeah,
as well?
And just one hell of a throw, and
sometimes the headlines write themselves.
Exactly.
Yeah, it was an amazing throw. And Wentz had a very I went on my diatribe in the first hour. I won't bore people with it again because that is my football team. But Carson Wentz continues to make just some terrible errors. But that was a great throw in a huge moment, and it was an unbelievable catch by a 5'6" running back.
Yeah, it really was
one handed catch in the corner of the end zone. So it was an amazing play to cap an unlikely comeback and an unlikely win that puts an unlikely team in an unlikely spot, which is in a very loser division at 2-4-1. The Eagles now lead the NFC East.
Have they already played Dallas one time?
No, they play them next Sunday night.
If you didn't
get enough of NFC East football in prime time last night, everybody, next week, Sunday night football, Philadelphia Eagles, Dallas Cowboys, with first place on the line in the NFC East. So it doesn't stop last night. It just keeps going.
No, but Hammer, I think, though, that to me is a draw because I think there's still enough
people. They're terrible.
Well, there's enough people
that Cowboys
would
Nation.
They'd still love to see Philadelphia knock off Dallas, right? Like the game last night, forget it. Anything to do with the Redskins, forget it. But if the Eagles you don't hate the Eagles like people hate the Cowboys. So to see them knock them off and put them in even a tougher spot, because even for Dallas, their one salvage for this gong show of a year would be to still even at 6-10 win the division, right? Like if they can't accomplish that, coach ain't going to make it out of the coach's office the final night of the year.
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking. They wouldn't think about flexing this out because you've got two massive groups of fans. They're fans of the Cowboys and fans who hate the Cowboys.
Yeah, exactly.
So
yep.
You're going to watch regardless.
Oh, and it's and listen, not just because I'm an Eagles fan, this is one of the great rivalries in football.
Yeah.
Despite the fact it's two bad football teams, when they play each other, and they play each other twice a year, it's a big game, and let alone, and I know it's a joke, but first place is on the line.
Yeah, for sure.
And in all likelihood, what's going to happen is the winner of, if one team sweeps the two games this season, that is the team that's going to win the division.
Yeah.
Of that,
yeah.
there is no
yeah.
doubt. If they
yeah.
end up splitting it, well, at least you know if you won game one, the worst you're going to do is a split. Then you just got to beat the other team out just based on your record, right? So it ends up being, for a lot of different reasons, a very huge game next week.
Eagles going to start getting anybody back, JR, or some of the injuries just flat out for the year?
They'll get a few guys back, but, I mean, they lost. So DeSean Jackson got injured late in the game last night. He just come back and missed four
He's
games.
Always hurt, though,
Oh,
right?
my God. It's just like and again, if you sign old guys that have a history of being injured, then you're rolling the dice on stuff like that. And I understand that. And he's had hamstring injuries and everything. And But last night, last night's just bad luck. They put him back to return a punt. He returns the punt. The gunner that comes down to tackle him lowers his head, and he gets knocked to the ground. The guy takes a 15-yard penalty. But then another guy comes in after he's down on the ground and rolls over top of him, and he kind of picks him up, and he gets his leg caught. It was a nasty play, but it's unfortunate. He got his leg tied up underneath him, and now, well, last I saw him last night, he was in a walking boot, and that looked like a pretty serious either ankle or knee injury. So they lost him. They lost the right tackle. They lost four more players again last night. Like, yeah. It's just the injuries are just
it's incredible. Do you really factor any of the COVID in, or do you just think this is where sports are kind of headed, especially in a bigger,
the
faster
amount of injuries?
Yeah.
I got to think it has something to do with it this year. The lack of training, and it's not just the Eagles. I mean, any Cowboy fan would tell you they've had a number of injuries. Like was it week two? We talked about the number of star players that had gone out of games. Saquon Barkley was pictured last night, right? He went out of a game. How many big name star players got injured early in this season? I think there has to be something to it.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, 22-21, Eagles beat the Giants. To win the Thursday Night Football. I hope you had that one. You're one up on everybody else if you pick the Eagles. Did you pick the Eagles last night, Zimmer?
I did, yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
good for you.
I'll go in and confirm, but I remember watching last night and I saw...
That means he didn't.
No.
No.
I don't ever forget to make my
picks. He did say he made his picks on Tuesday.
I always lock him in, but I just think the Giants are terrible, so... Going to be a little shocked if I didn't end up taking the Eagles.
All right, we've got a triple header for you of, I promise, much better games on Sunday, including the game of the day. 5-0 Steelers at the 5-0 Titans. This is the 1 o'clock game on Sunday that we'll have for you here on TSN 1200. And, of course, don't forget you can watch all the NFL on TSN and on the CTV family of networks as well. That is going to be a terrific game coming up on Sunday. And it's too bad because they flexed. The Raiders, if you haven't heard, had their entire offensive line go on the COVID reserve list yesterday. So they're at this point not sure. Well, they have enough backups to be able to play the game. But if the outbreak does grow from here, I think the NFL was worried that it wouldn't have, because they're scheduled to play on Sunday night versus Tampa, that they wouldn't have a game to broadcast. They didn't want to be like it was last Thursday, right, when they had to cancel the game or move the game and didn't have a game at all. So they flexed the Cardinals-Seahawks game, which was scheduled for 4 o'clock on Sunday, to the 8 o'clock game. And then the Raiders game now has been moved to 4 o'clock. And if for some reason they just aren't able to field the team because they've had a COVID outbreak, then they'll have to move that to another week. But now, because, listen, television wants its games, right? So now we get Hammer-Seahawks again in prime time versus the Cardinals and Kyler Murray. That's actually a great matchup.
I'm ticked because of Russell Wilson's record. On prime time, he's got is it 27-5-1 under Pete Carroll? 27-5-1
straight
in
up.
Prime time.
Straight up?
Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm guessing.
Did you count the Super Bowl against the Patriots? Is that prime time?
Nice, Zimmer. That is strong. That is strong. And listen, there is no comeback, so don't even try. Other than Duke.
And I can't play the wrench.
No. All right, 7:51. Triple header. We'll have the Simmers Patriots against the Niners. That's a big game. The loser of that game is in some trouble. I'll tell you what. So that's a big game. That's the late Sunday afternoon game, and then we'll have that Cardinals Seahawks game for you. Nice triple header of NFL football for you on Sunday here on TSN 1200. Stand by. Pierre McGuire will join us in about 15 minutes or so as we roll on. We'll get set for the World Series when we come back on TSN 1200. All right, we're back, 7:56, Friday morning. Game 3 of the World Series, and we'll go tonight down in Texas. LA Dodgers, Tampa Bay Rays, both tied at a game apiece. And we got the pitching matchup. Charlie Morton, Mr. Game 7, will pitch for the Rays tonight. And the Dodgers are going to go with super rookie Walker Buehler.
Buehler.
I can't help but go with that one.
Buehler.
Especially when I hear it. His first name is Walker Buehler. Here's Walker Buehler on getting the Game 3 start in tonight's Game 3 of the World Series.
You feel lucky and blessed kind of to be in these positions, but at the end of the day, this is kind of the expectation of this culture, and if you're going to be a part of that and be successful in it, you have to kind of take that as it comes with you. So, I think definitely I feel fortunate to have been in a an organization and on a team that can put us in these positions, but that's also kind of what we expect of ourselves. So I think it's a little bit of a double-edged sword there.
All right, 29 strikeouts over four appearances in the postseason for Walker Buehler, 1.89 ERA. We aren't doing our best bets with the World Series game tonight, but if I were, yeah, I'd be all over the under on this game. I think tonight will be the one night in which we may see a pitcher's battle between the two.
And, hey, not a lot of athletes are going to say a whole lot, JR, but, you know, audio actually pretty good. But, boy, some of these Zoom calls now with athletes, it allows them to be even more boring. But this guy's got his tight pants, and he'll be rocking and rolling. And as far as that, as far as that clip hammer, the only thing, and I hope I'm right on this one, but what really always teed that up when we used to be repetitive and saying it all the time, did it go Adamansky? And then did he go to Buehler? Is Buehler third in line as they're doing the roll call to that? Because that was what we'd always say.
I knew there were some names before it.
Adamansky? And then I think they ended up going to Buehler. Like, that was one of your classic, everybody had that quote back in the day.
Yeah. It was weird. That was on CBS Now shows, and just shows that we've kind of, we're emptied out of ideas. They are showing like a classic movie of the week now on Sunday nights,
okay,
CBS, and they did Ferris Bueller's Day Off actually last Sunday.
And what was cool at the time was hockey not being overly mainstream. Was it a Red Wings? I'm assuming it was a Howe jersey, right? Or was it? It wouldn't have been Stevie Y, right? We would have just been starting
out. It was a Howe. It was a Gordie Howe.
Yeah.
For Cameron.
And the legendary car that they're trying to, I love that when they drop it off with the chauffeur and they just go booting around town. Then they made the decision to try to run back the odometer, which didn't end up working out
very
well.
All right, so game three of the World Series goes tonight. In fact, games 3, 4, and 5, there's your Friday, Saturday, and Sunday nights taken care of series of tied at 1. When we reconvene here on Monday, we may have a World Series winner if somebody sweeps the weekend. I got a feeling, though, that this series is going 6 or maybe 7 games, so we'll see what transpires. But game 3 will go tonight. It is 7:59.